Want to just a couple things. We'll update you on my friend that we prayed for last week. By the way, thank you for praying for my buddy, my pastor friend that we prayed for in the services last week. I've had a lot of you contact me this week, tell me that you were praying and were concerned and that kind of thing. Thank you for that. Thank you for praying for them. I know that it means a lot to them. They are going through some stuff right now, and it's tough. But it's amazing, even in the midst of what we're seeing there, God is making himself known. And it's sad, and then it's like happy at the same time. It's hard to explain it. I'll give you this much, because I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't even really know what's going on. Basically, he took some stands for doing the right thing biblically, what he felt like he needed to be doing and how to lead the church that he pastors. And sometimes taking the stand that would be the biblical stand doesn't always win out in the end as being the thing that makes everybody happy. And he made some people upset, and he made, you know, in certain churches, you know, those churches might be run by a couple of families or whatever it is, you know, and you make the wrong people mad. Next thing you know, you're without a job, and that's where he is today. And they let him go last Sunday night, and that's why we prayed for him last week. But I'm telling you that also to say this. God's led us, I feel like, to try to help. And so what we're doing is we're going to go Tuesday and Wednesday. We're going to go on Tuesday and come back on Wednesday to just help them move out of the house. And get out of the house and just be of encouragement to them and all that. If you would like to go, see me after the service. If you're planning on going, see me after the service. You know, we'd love for you to go. I think we've got 3 trucks and 3 enclosed trailers at this point, so I think we're good on that stuff. But we would love for you to be able to go if you want to help carry boxes or whatever. You know, we'll even let you know when we get back here. If you can help unload here, it'd be great. You know, we're probably going to be unloading somewhere close to here in a storage unit or something. Just being of encouragement and help. We're going to have fun. We'll have a blast going down and, you know, eating and hanging out together. So it'll be good. So just see me after the service if you're interested in doing that. Today, we are embarking on Acts 28. All right? We ready for this? Acts 28, the very last chapter of the book of Acts. All right, get excited. And so here's what we're doing. Originally, I was going to preach all of Acts 28 today, and then I decided against it. I was like, nah, we'll make it go one more week. So we're going to do the first part of Acts 28 today, and we'll do the second part next week. We've been doing this. I think Joey said, I never keep up with this stuff. Joey said he thought that we started the book of Acts in March of 2012. So, you know, here we are. And I'm looking forward to the weeks ahead. We've got some fun stuff lined up as to what we're going to be doing after Acts. I'm really praying that our folks will hunker down and not miss out on what we're going to be talking about through the weeks to come. I think it's going to be some really good stuff into Christmas and then into the first of the year, what God is calling us to be and do as 24 Church, who he's calling us to be and what he's calling us to do. So be around for that. Don't miss out on any of that. If you got a Bible, go ahead and get it out and go to Acts 28. And if you don't have a Bible, we have ushers, and our ushers have Bibles. And if you will throw your hand up and hold it up, they will bring you a Bible. If you don't have one, you forgot it, left it in the car, whatever it is. If you don't own one, take it as a gift. Just throw your hand up. Don't make these guys like walk all the way down here for nothing at all. All right, just even if it's out of just pure feeling sorry for these guys, let them, you know, take a Bible from them. Okay. For heaven's sake, let them serve you with giving you a Bible, okay? All right, here we go. We're going to go Acts 28, and today we're checking out Paul right as he's come off the shipwreck. And if you've missed the shipwreck, you missed the last two messages where we talked last couple of weeks about the shipwreck that Paul was in with all these guys and how God brought them through that and all this, just some amazing stuff. Last couple of weeks, probably worth podcasting. And checking out if you've missed that, especially, let me just tell you, especially if you're going through something right now, if you've been going through a rough spot or something, I just really encourage you to go check those out. I don't say that a whole lot. I don't even listen to them myself because I can't stand to hear myself talk. So pretty much like everybody else. I recommend checking that out. And this week, what we have is if you remember last week, the ship wrecked into like a reef or a sandbar or something, right into an island, which is basically God told Paul, tell these knuckleheads to let them just run the thing into an island and quit trying to save the ship and quit trying to save the cargo and all this stuff. And so finally they do this. They listen to Paul and they run the thing into the island, but they have no idea where they are. Well, we're picking up today on where they are. We're picking up on where it turns out the island is. The island is called Malta, and we're going to pick up with that there. We even see a little snake handling. Anybody ever been to a snake handling church? Man, I really want to meet somebody who's been to a snake handling church. Let me tell you a funny story. It has nothing to do with this. Back in the day when we were mobile and we were meeting at Pleasant View Elementary, we had this huge Rubbermaid tub, and inside of it we had this thing that rolls up. It's called the snake, and it's actually between your soundboard and your sound system. You have what's called a snake, and it's the bundle of wires that run everything from there to here. And in here we actually have it mounted. Well, over there we had to set it up every week, tear it down every week, and we had it in this big thing. And you know, just me being a dumb idiot, one night standing in my garage, and at the point, it's actually at the very early part of the church, all that stuff was stored in my garage. And I was just bored one night, and I found a can of yellow spray paint, and I was like, I want to paint something. And so I saw the big Rubbermaid thing for the snake, and I was like, I'm going to write snake on that. So I just spray painted snake on the top of this bin. Well, the context of, you know, new church in the community, people think you're half crazy. And, you know, are they a cult or what's going on over there? And we would go set up on Saturday nights. Well, in the fall, in the winter, you'd have basketball games on Saturday nights. So what we would do is a lot of times we would load a lot of stuff into the hallways and we would wait for the basketball games to be over with. And we would chit chat with the people there at the games and try to love on them and, you know, buy a hamburger and hang out and, you know, be good neighbors and all that. And then we would clean up after the games. Well, then one night, I heard kind of a little bit of a ruckus coming from some people in the hallway. And what had happened was the Rubbermaid snake tote had gotten set in the hallway, and these people were sitting there in the hallway and they were looking at it. And they saw it said snake on it, and they were like, we need to know what's going on with that right there. And I said, oh, yeah, we'll show you that right now. And they're like, oh, no, 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 no. And I was like, no, it's okay. It's all right. You know, and I opened it up. So that was a snake story. So Paul is going to be handling a snake today. It's not made of wire, and we're going to see what that's about. So this is fun stuff, all right? Acts 28, verse 1 says this. It says, after we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness. In other words, they were shocked that they were as kind as they were. For they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper, this is not the Dodge V10 car, okay, this is a snake, all right. A viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. It bit him. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. So we've got our island folks, and I've got all kinds of pictures in my head of what I think the island people should look like. You know, none of them are probably true, but I kind of like to go with it. And but anyway, you've got all these folks, and they've come up on land, and they've welcomed them in. And then after they've gotten the fire going, of course, Paul's, you know, just trying to pitch in and help out and grab some wood, grab some sticks. And in doing so, he gets a viper. It grabs a hold of him. And so they see what's going on. And, you know, in their own, you know, minds of the universe working everything out or whatever it is that they were believing in, they basically decide on their own that basically, oh, the universe is getting him. He must be a murderer. You know, even though he escaped the shipwreck, death's going to find him. You know, the Grim Reaper, you know, he's coming for him. He's going to get him. And there it is. There's a snake. It's an interesting story. You know, it's a whole story of Paul. You know, I mean, it's like Paul can't get a break. You know, I mean, let's just face it. He just got shipwrecked. I mean, if any one of you had been shipwrecked in the last 6 months, you would still be riding on the coattails of interviews with local media, news, television stations, and everything else, right? I mean, let's just face it. I mean, if you were in a real legitimate shipwreck and you made it through, you would have a book deal and you'd be telling everybody about it. And when people saw you, they'd be going, Are you doing okay? Are you all right? I know it's been a lot of stress since you got shipwrecked, 6 months ago. But Paul, nobody's caring about that. I mean, these guys are nice to him. The island folks are like, hey, we'll give you a fire. It's cold outside and it's raining, so we're going to throw you up a fire. So just come on over here and we'll hang out. And, oh, a snake grabbed a hold of you. Well, now you must be a murderer. I mean, Paul can't catch a break. I mean, I hope you see this, because this is the story of Paul's life. The story of Paul's life is that he constantly, over and over and over again, suffers for the gospel. I mean, because at the end of the day, Paul's not on vacation. He didn't go on a ship to just, have a good time. He went on a ship because he's trying to get to Rome. If you go back, and if you're just joining in to now hear this, the very beginning of Paul's conversion, when Jesus saved Paul on that day, God told this guy named Ananias, who was going to go, he was going to send him to go speak with Paul. Ananias was freaked out about this, by the way, because Ananias knew that Paul had been killing Christians before then. And Ananias is like, God, I don't think I want to go talk to Paul for you. And God says to Ananias, let me tell you, son, I'm going to use my boy Paul, and he's going to tell all kinds of people about me. He is going to make the gospel known to all sorts of people and even kings. And so from the very first moment that Paul comes to know the Lord, God already has a plan in place for Paul. God already has a plan. I mean, from the day, God already knew what he was going to use Paul to do. Did you know that God already knows what he's going to use you to do? I mean, for me, that sets me down in a seat and goes, man, I'm an idiot. I really think I am really like controlling and planning and, and all this. God has a mission. And his mission includes his church, which is us. And his mission included Paul. So all of this stuff, I look at this story, and I'm remembering this really happened. Okay, this is not just like fairy tales or whatever. This is real deal stuff. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm going, okay, why do we have these stories? Why would God use Luke, who was a doctor, to pen these stories that we might be reading them as scripture today? What is the purpose in that? The purpose in that is this: that we would see Paul's suffering for the gospel. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." Verse 5 says this, though. Check this out. "He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." So, I mean, just like this, the island folk have made a judgment call. He's a murderer. He's a god. I mean, just that quick. That's pretty true of like the political climate, I think, even today. I mean, we'll decide one minute, that guy's good, or that guy's a maniac, but that's where they were. Why does God want us to see this? What is the importance of this to us? What's the importance of this to us as individuals? What is the importance of this to us as his church? "But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." So because he is not harmed by the viper who grabbed a hold of his hand, they've made a deduction that there's something special about this guy. Little do they know what's really going on. And in verse 7, it says this. It says, "Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, he healed him. So here's another piece of this story. So already they've seen Paul get bit by a snake, and he just, you know, shake the thing off in the fire and be fine. And then now he's learned that, like, the head guy in town, the head dude around town, that his father is terribly sick. So he goes to him and he prays over him and he's healed. So, I mean, you can only imagine the response of the town, because, I mean, this is the main guy in town. I mean, this is his father. Everybody's going to know about this. So what happens? Verse 9. And when they had taken, when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. So, as we can imagine, everybody in town that's got, you know, athlete's foot and everything else is like, hey, dude, I need to, you know, I need to make an appointment. What do I need to do to get in? How much does it cost? I'll trade you something, you know. And so everybody's cured. And then in verse 10, it says this. It says, they also honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. And what that's talking about is, you know, they're not exactly to Rome yet. They've still got a little bit of a journey to make still. And anybody that would have been loading onto a ship, it's not like, you know, we buy tickets to a cruise or something now. But in that scenario, you were responsible for bringing everything that you needed, including your food. So basically what they had done is they provided for Paul and whoever was with Paul, and we don't know who all was with Paul. We know that he had his soldier. But whoever was with Paul in this particular scenario was provided everything that they needed to make the journey of where they were going. So, again, what's the importance? Why tell these details? Why does it matter? Here's why. This is God's way of us being able, for showing us and us being able to see that God makes a way for his mission. Think about the word protection. Think about the word protection for a minute. Think about the times in your life you've been protected from something. I think about times when I was young. I crashed a lot of cars. I mean, a lot of cars. It was not good. And I look back on that. Some of those wrecks I was in were pretty intense, you know. And honestly, there's a couple, you know, I mean, just a second different here or there or something, this, that. I would not have made it through any of those wrecks, some of those wrecks. And I look back on that and I go, you know, God protected me through those wrecks. I mean, I totally believe that he's got, and I know he's got a plan. So he obviously didn't intend for me to die in one of those car wrecks. So, you know, what is the purpose that he would keep me alive? And I begin thinking about, you know, God's purpose for our lives. And God's purpose for our lives, if you didn't know, and I've talked about it a lot in the last several weeks, and on purpose talking about purpose, is that we exist for God's glory. We exist that this world might know who God is. That because we walk, because we talk, because we have relationships, because we have family members. I know you didn't want to hear that one, okay? I'm sorry, because I know you're like, oh, I got some crazy family members you don't know. I do know these people on these reality shows are, you know, I'll take you to a family reunion in Kentucky, and you'd be like, oh, it's just like those people right there. You're right. Oh, I got some crazy people. I love them, okay? We're supposed to love them. God's put them in our life for a reason. God's put the people that we work with for a reason. God has us living next door to, living in the neighborhoods of. God has done all of these things with purpose. And the purpose is always for him. It's always for him. Because he's God. I mean, if he didn't do that, he would cease to be God. I hope that you understand that in a way. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I mean, God has got to be about him. If he's God, he's got to be about him. He's got to be about himself. He's got to be about making himself known. And in all of creation, from nature to whatever, everything cries out of his glory and who he is. But God has a mission, and he is going to protect his mission. And I think that that's important for us to understand today. Because I think when we hear the words like plan, and we're great with plans, right? I mean, we got plans. I got plans for today. I got plans for this week. I got plans for this month, next month, first of the year. You know, we got some plans, okay? We can put together some plans. There's nothing wrong with planning. Nothing wrong with thinking ahead. But as the saying goes, you know, when you make plans, God laughs. You know, plans don't always go as you think. You know, it's just the way it is. And the truth is that sometimes I think that we get so far into our plans that we miss God's mission. The question could be this for us. If we're going to plan, nothing wrong with being a planner. If we're going to plan, what's it look like for us to actually plan with the kingdom of God in mind versus like what we want to accomplish in mind, you know? That's a whole different deal. It's a whole different deal. And you go, Chris, you're messing with my mojo. I got plans. I'm with you. I've been there. I'm still there a lot of days. I'm great at making plans and then realizing that I did that all on my own. And I got to tell you that those plans usually just, they're not the plans that God wants for us. God has a mission. He has a mission, and he has called his church to be a part of it. He has called us to be a part of it. Here's the beauty of it. Here's why I think we have this story. Here's why I think that we get to see Paul go through so much of what he goes through, in and out of jail, going through shipwrecks, getting bit by snakes, whatever it is. I mean, Paul's going through all this stuff that any one of these things, we would want to take like a year off of work for or something. You know, we'd be like, oh, woe is me, I've been through a shipwreck. We're going to, you know, I got traumatic, you know. Here's the deal. Paul suffered so that he could take the gospel. He suffered that he could take the gospel. He suffered that he could go to Caesar and tell him about Jesus. You go, okay, big whoop-de-doo. No, he was determined he would fulfill what God had created him to do. He knew. Paul knew what God told Ananias. He knew that he was supposed to go do this. And despite all of these things that kept happening to him, Paul kept going. And I'm thinking to myself, somewhere along the way, Paul's got to be like, God, come on. Shipwreck? Okay, thanks for getting me to shore. Why did the snake have to bite me today? Why do we have to go through that? Why can't we just be having a party and a fire? Why is that not enough? I mean, we did go through a shipwreck. I am still technically a prisoner. You know, why can't we just hang and be cool, you know? Paul didn't do that. I mean, that's what I would do. That's what we all do. That's we start asking God questions like, God, why? And the answer is always the same. We forget it sometimes, but the answer is always, you're going to do this for my glory. People are going to see me in you through this. Hang in there. Trust in me. Believe in my mission. You see, Paul's on God's mission. And most of us, we like read this and we go, man, if that's God's mission, I don't think I want anything to do with it. I don't think I'd like shipwrecks. I don't think I want to be a prisoner. And I don't even want to touch a snake, much less be bit by one, right? But what we have is we have a picture of God's protection. We have a picture of God fulfilling a promise. This is what Paul will do. He will go here, and he will go there, and he will tell these people about me. You see, the beauty of when you know that God is leading you to do something, the beauty of it is you have no reason whatsoever to be scared of it. Now, I don't know if you realize that or not. Maybe you've never really gotten to experience that. I hope you have. It's the most amazing, most unbelievable thing that has ever happened in my life is in the moments when I have known that God is leading me to do something that if I will follow him, I don't have to worry about it. I know that he's got my back. In fact, I look back on the beginning of the church when God first began speaking to my heart about planting a church. I mean, that was crazy talk to so many people in my life. I mean, so many people in my life were looking at me going, "You're an idiot. What are you talking about? You're a youth guy and you do students and you like making kids, teenagers throw up on stage and stuff and then tell them about Jesus and leading, and yeah, I love that stuff. I mean, I love it, but the truth is that God was working on my heart and he was leading me to do something, and not just me, but then a few other people too. And it became obvious that God wants to do this. When God wants you to do something, you don't have to worry about it. And I'm not saying it's been easy. There have been times when it's been hard. Been times where you think, man, maybe I need to go, change oil for a living or something. But at the end of the day, when you know that it's what God wants you to do, you know that he's going to protect you through it. I mean, how in this life, if we know without a shadow of a doubt that God created us and he created us for his glory and he's calling us to do something as a part of his mission, why in the world would we ever be afraid of that? There's no reason. We can rest in it. We can rest even in the suffering in it. And just knowing, you know what, I'm following God. It's what God wants us to do. It's where he got us right now. I'm going to keep going. I trust him, believe in him. I know he's going to take care of me. I look back on that time in our life, the beginning of the church. And there have been plenty of times along the way. I mean, you guys can attest to this, like what life is like and how hard it is sometimes. And, when you don't think you're going to, make ends meet financially or whatever it is. And, a couple years into the church, I remember sitting in our old house and talking with Erin. And she said, we need to talk about money. And usually whenever she says that, it means that I've probably bought too much junk is what it means normally. But something had happened. I think we'd had something happen with the house. We had to spend money on the house, and it was not a choice thing. It was a, this is where we are. And she said, here's the deal. We've got X amount of dollars in bills, and here's how much money we've got, which is basically none. And here's where we need to go. And she said, I've got right here at the top, as we always do, this is the way we work. Our stuff, and I'm not telling you this to brag, I'm just being honest with you and praying that you might pray that, you would trust God also in a similar way, if you're not already, but we give off the top. Whatever God has provided for us, we give an offering and a tithe from that, and it's what God's led us to do, and I think it's what Scripture teaches us to do, and I think God does that not for preachers to guilt congregation people or people on TV to guilt people sitting at home into giving their money so that they can, do whatever. I think that it's because God wants us to not worship that stuff, and it's a way for God to say, trust me with that part of your life, like he says to do with all of our life. And so anyway, we had our little budget out, and we had that part at the top, and I said, well, we're just going to do that. We're going to, no matter what. And so she said, okay. And she said, okay, after we've done that, we're still going to owe like $800 and something in bills. I said, awesome. That's fantastic. you've had those moments in life where you're going, well, let's eat some popcorn tonight for dinner. I think we've got a couple boxes of that going in the cabinet. And so we prayed about it and we talked and we just felt at peace. God's going to take care of us. It's what God wants us to do. He's going to provide. And I thought, well, it just means I need to get out and get to work on some machines. And at the time I was buying machines like crazy to fix and sell by the box truck loads at times. And I was like, I just need to go find some more machines and we'll fix them and we'll sell them. And, we probably won't make it in time, but we'll be late on bills or whatever. Got to work it out. Well, the next day, I go on about my day, and then later in the day, Erin calls me, and she said, hey, I need to call you and ask you something real quick. I said, what is it? And she said, uh, She said, we got something in the mail from a termite company in Memphis. And she said the name of it. She said, did we use a termite company in Memphis named this? And I said, no, actually, the name of the company we used was this. And I actually remembered the name. That's kind of a big deal down there. They have to come and drill and do all this stuff around houses because it's all flat. Everything's on the slab. Well, I said, yeah, no, the company we use name is this. And she said, well, we've got this thing in the mail. I was like, well, what is it? She said, well, it looks like a check. And I said, a check? And she said, yeah. I said, how much is it? And she said, and I don't remember the exact amount, but I do remember this. It was $1 more than what we were short. And she said, what do I do with it? I said, cash it before they change their mind. And we did. We did. And we paid our bills. And I'll tell you any of that to say, like, oh, look at Chris and Aaron and look at they're doing it. Listen, we've done plenty of things wrong, okay? We're sinners. And but I look at this and I look at that and I say this to that. That is God protecting his mission. If you're on God's mission, you don't have to worry about whether or not everything's going to be okay. There's going to be suffering along the way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's going to be some Cinderella story all the time. There's going to be stuff that's, you know, that comes up that you're going to be like, God, why in the world did I have to get bit by a snake today? I mean, seriously. You know, and some of you feel that way about just other people you've had to deal with. Like they bit your head off and you'd rather been bit by the snake maybe, you know. And you're going, why? And it's all for his glory. It's all that others might see Jesus in us in those moments. I told my friend last week, I told him I've been praying hard for him for this. I said, bro, I said, you're gonna be in some situations when they get you up there on Sunday night and they're gonna be throwing stones at you. I said, I'm praying that when they're throwing stones at you, that you do nothing but show them Christ. And that's it. And I really feel like he did. I feel like he kept his composure. He was, I probably wouldn't have. I'd have been mad. You know, but I just see those moments. We got to see those moments for what they are and not waste them and let Satan have his way with them where he wins in those moments and they're wasted moments for the kingdom versus those moments could be something great where God uses them for his glory. That's big. Acts 28 verse 14 says this. I want to jump down to verse 14. I want you to see what happens. Paul jumps on a boat for about 3 months later. They wait out kind of the winter thing there, which is the whole reason they got in this mess. And when it's time, they get on the boat. And those folks, obviously, they provide for them. God provides for them through these people after him healing these people, of their sicknesses and stuff. And it says that they bounce from a couple of different cities in the next few verses and then finally to a place called Puteoli. And then it says this in verse 14. It says there, talking about Puteoli, there we found brothers. In other words, other believers in Christ. We found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far from the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Why is it important? What's it matter? Why do we care? Here's why. You see what happens here? See what happens here in just these few verses? Paul is continually being provided for still. He's continually being protected. Verse 14, we'll read it again. It says, this says, there we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And verse 15, check this out. What's it say again? And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far from this place and that place. And on seeing them, Paul, what? Thanked God and took courage. You see what happened? I would think to myself, Paul, being Paul, And I'm like, I know that I'm trying to get to Rome. He's trying to get to Rome. That's where Caesar is. That's where he's trying to get. That's where he's been trying to get, getting snake bit and shipwrecked and thrown into prison after prison and trial after trial. And the whole time he's going, I want to appeal to Caesar. I want to appeal to Caesar. I know you want to let me go. I want to appeal to Caesar. And the whole time he's trying to get to Rome. And so right now, what's happening? They're like right there. It's like, you know, are we there yet? Right? The famous question, are we there yet? Right? They're there. They're like right there. In fact, they're coming into Rome because it says the first city, you know, the Petulius, that's the first place where he gets met by brothers. And they invite him to stay with them for 7 days. And then what's it say? And so we came to Rome, and the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far from the Forum of Appius and the Twin Taverns to meet us on seeing them. What's it say Paul did? Paul thanked God and took courage. Paul thanked God and took courage. Let me ask you this question. Can you look back in your life and you see where God put people, like placed people into your life at certain times for you? Text message. For you to be able to thank God and have courage to keep going. You know what I'm taking from this? I'm taking from this that Paul, even though he's like right there at Rome, he needed to be encouraged. He needed some support. He needed some people to love on him. I don't know if his soldier just wasn't really doing a good job of like showing him much love or what, but you know, I mean, Paul was in a place where he needed some people to like come around him. And you know what? Here's the truth of it. We were all created needing that. We never see Paul like show this like weakness side. I mean, that's hardly something we ever see from Paul. He's Mr. like, I killed Christians. Now I am a Christian. I love Jesus. You should love Jesus. And you know, let's party together. You know, Paul, for us to see a glimpse that he needed to be encouraged, that he needed people around him, is this reminder for us that we all need this. Every single one of us need this. And we I know we harp on it a lot at 24, but I'm telling you, we do it because Scripture is calling us to it. That we would push one another into being in community together. That we would share our lives with each other. Because here's what happens. When stuff goes down and it hits the fan, what we want to do is we want to recluse and hold ourselves up and then not tell anybody and not share and not be a burden and all these other things. And that is not what God has called us to do. In fact, we're supposed to be doing the opposite, that when we're sharing our lives with one another, when we're breaking bread and being that Acts 2 church where they're sharing together and eating together and worshiping together and carrying one another's burdens, that we actually know what's going on with each other's lives. See, that's real relationships. And in this world, we hate real relationships. We'd rather just keep it at like a text message level and, you know, let's just leave it at that. God doesn't want us to do that because he knows that we need this. He knows that we need people that care about us. But here's the beauty of it. It's not just for when we're going through bad stuff. Because what? Sometimes we're supposed to be the brothers to other people. Sometimes we're supposed to be the people that are there in the lives of others going, I'm sorry you're going through that. I don't even know what to say to you right now, but I'm here and I love you and I care for you and I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. I'm going to ask God to intervene in your life and help take care of this situation or whatever it is. That's carrying one another's burdens. That is being the church. Showing up on Sunday morning is not really being the church. That's worshiping together with the church. That's a great thing, and it's important. And obviously important to hear the teaching, preaching and teaching of God's word. We're called to that. But God has called us to more. And sometimes it's because we need to be reminded that God has a mission. So that when we're going through something or when somebody else is going through something, that we can remind them and say, hey, God's got a mission. God's got a mission. You're a part of that mission. Hold fast. Stand strong. Believe. Trust in the Lord. have faith. I'm here with you. Because what happened to Paul? Paul thanked God and he took courage. You know what he took courage to do? It's what we're going to look at next week. He took courage. God used these brothers, these random people who probably thought it was no big deal that they were going to come see Paul and that he would be encouraged by them. The courage that he got from this is the courage that took him into Rome that he might share the gospel in front of Caesar and the boys. God protected his mission even through the love of others. It's not always about anti-venom. It's not always about making it on the wreckage from the ship into the shore. Sometimes it's just straight up just people just loving, being Jesus to one another. I don't want to be that church. God wants us to be that church. I'll read a couple of just quick verses to you as just a reminder of what God's up to. Job 42:2 says this. You can jot them down, look at them later, whatever. Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. He's speaking to God. I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Paul took these little things as encouragement. It even throws in, if you're paying attention, it even throws in that Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. In this last moment, like as he's just gotten to Rome, and here he is, and they're like, hey, bro, we're going to let you just stay. You and just your soldier, you guys can have this place by yourself. And I'm guessing, I don't know, you know, he's been with a whole lot of other prisoners through this whole thing, hanging out on boats, and I don't know if it's just like, you know, they got a room with a view that has a window and are not with a whole bunch of other stinky people or whatever it is. But even in that, this is encouragement to Paul. And some of you need to be encouraged today. But so many of us are reclusive and we're saying no to being involved in the lives of other people. And I just want to encourage you not to be afraid of that. We need that. I need that. I need it personally. I need people in my life that are asking me how I'm doing. I need people praying for me. I need people that will call me out and say, Chris, I see this in your life. I'm worried about you. What about that? Is that sin or what is that? We need people that will do that. Those are true friends. Those are true brothers. And those are the folks that God is going to use many times to help bring us courage to fulfill the mission that God has called us to be a part of. So I'll say it again. If God is leading you to do something, if it's loving on somebody, a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, if it's God is leading you to physically get involved with something, whatever it might be, to serve somebody in some way, to serve the body as a church in some way, to be in community somehow. I just want you to know that if you know in your heart that God wants you to do this, you need to cease to be afraid of it. There's no reason for you to have fear of it. There's no reason for you to be worried about it, because if it's His plan, not only does He want to see it done, He's going to protect it. And He's going to get you to it. You may be here this morning and you may just go, you know, I've just never trusted in Jesus at all. I've never trusted in God to believe that His Son was enough to forgive me of my sin. I've never trusted that His grace is something freely given. I'm still trying to earn it. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm going to be like a good person and then I'm going to like be a part of the church, or I'm going to be a good person, then I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior. Let me just tell you what, that doesn't work, okay? Jesus takes he takes junk and he makes amazing things out of them. Jesus is about restoration. He wants to restore people that are lost to people that are not only saved but have freedom in Christ. Not just some ticket out of hell to be in heaven one day, but so much more that we might live in this life right now for his glory, that other people would know him because they know us. That's his plan. Paul thanked God and took courage. And today, if you trust in Christ, you can take courage too. Take courage in the truth that he is enough. He loves you. And he sent his son to die for you. And he didn't do all that for no reason at all. He did that for a mission that we get to be a part of. I just want to encourage you today. Don't miss out on being a part of that mission. Listen to what God is leading you to do in your heart. Follow him with all your heart. Know that he will protect it. If it's his mission, he's going to protect. He's going to provide. He will be enough. Let's pray together.